Anna Ward here, news editor at EG at Dublin Question Time. I'm here with Owen Condren, Joint Ventures Director at UNI, and Sean O'Malley, Senior Economist at Savills. There are a few interesting themes that came up from the event today, particularly looking at the future of Dublin's property market. And I just wanted to start with where you see government policy going. There's been a consultation recently on whether developers can build higher-rise buildings. Will we see higher-rise buildings in the future in Dublin?
I think it's inevitable, just given density requirements. I think it's something we must do. There is kind of a prerequisite with that, the idea that if you were to build high, it has to be along good public transport infrastructure. So I think the government needs to catch up on that side of things. But it is certainly something that we will see in the future, for sure, yes. Yeah.
Owen, what do you think about that?
Absolutely the same. I think if Ireland is to succeed as a long-term proposition, it needs to get people back into the city centre. I think my biggest fear for the Dublin market right now is the hollowing out of the city centre, of people actually having to move long distances to actually live, to afford to live somewhere. And I think we have to figure out as a city and as a country how to get people back into the city centre, close to where they want to live, work and play all at the same time. And it's happened all right around Europe, it's all around Asia, it's around North America. I mean, why should Dublin be any different? We're all the same sort of animal in that respect. So I think we need to figure it out. And I think the government's making good strides in doing so. It's just a case of how do we now actually bring it to the next stage.
Okay. When you both discussed two-unit flats and PRS living and so on, just wondered if you might be able to expand on that and sort of how you think developers should be planning residential buildings.
Yeah. I think that there will always be a demand for PRS, and I think generally people that live in PRS will typically be two-person households. A kid might come along. I think the point I tried to get across, and perhaps if we were able to elaborate further up on stage, was the idea that, you know, if people want to transition towards home ownership and they want to look at apartment living, we need to look at larger apartments. And I think that's the key that needs to be, that was the key point I was trying to get across. As I said, for PRS, there will always be a demand, particularly in prime city centre locations. But in terms of owner-occupied, if apartment living is the future and we want families to look at it as a viable option, they need to be larger.
What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, listen, I think it's just important to consider a spectrum of properties in which people live. I think, listen, I've got a wife, I've got three boys, and we have guests the whole time. I'm not going to live in a one-bedroom apartment in the city centre somewhere, but when I was 24 and first moved to, or 23 and first moved to London, could I have lived in a one-bed apartment that was well curated and had a good community feel about it? Absolutely. And I think we're seeing a lot of that in Dublin, in London, in Manchester at the moment, where there is genuine demand, and we get constantly asked, because we have prototypes showing these one-bed apartments. We have people constantly calling up and asking where are they available, and how do people get access to them. So we see the demand there. It's a case of how do we actually go out there and prove the concept. And I think there is space requirements for a reason. We don't want to create places where people are living in rabbit hutches, but at the same time, where there is demand, we should be trying to supply what people want, rather than just assuming we know what people want.
Okay. And will you, going forward then, look beyond the sort of two bed type size or smaller spaces and
we build a lot of apartments. We've got three beds, we've got two beds, we've got four beds in some instances, we've got penthouses. What we're trying to do is say that there isn't a silver bullet. We have houses, you know, we do a whole spectrum of things, but the one element that is clearly missing from all of that is studio apartment spaces, where people are have well curated places to socialize all in the same building and live close to where they work. And I think that's a key element that's currently missing in the planning policy that we're trying to address.
Okay.
Simple as that.
And just to finish, Sean, you mentioned that you believe that Brexit will have a likely negative impact on the Irish economy. I guess some other panellists were sort of discussing the potential for Ireland to work with London as a kind of natural spot for companies to expand to. So I just wondered, sort of, particularly for real estate, sort of where you see the sort of negative impact falling.
Yeah, I think it kind of comes back to what I mentioned there. You know, if something is typically considered a negative for the economy as a whole, it will normally feed through into sectors, and something particularly like, you know, the CRE market. I think, again, though, it will differ by sector by sector. I mentioned retail, you know, could be hurt due to no expansions from UK operators abroad, particularly here in Ireland. In terms of the office market, it can certainly benefit. I think we are beginning to see some of that come true now. Again, they are only dipping their toe into the water, you know, particularly using service office space, but it's just really to get their name here and understand. Yeah. But as some of the other panelists mentioned as well, they're also those inquiries are going across Europe, so it's not just Dublin that they're looking at. Dublin has plenty of pull factors that can certainly help it in terms of the office market. If you look at, you know, what drives FDI into Ireland, it's the like of a young, well educated workforce that we have here. We haven't hit capacity constraints in terms of the labour market. Our unemployment rate is at 5.6%. If you look at somewhere like London or the US, it's down at 4. Then you have also the fact that once the UK leaves, we'll be the only English-speaking country as well within Europe, and they will be pull factors. So yeah. I mean, I think overall, it could be absolutely. I think it's a mixed picture.
What are your thoughts on Brett? How are you seeing that impact the demand in your sector?
Very, very much the same way. I think it doesn't take a huge amount of individuals or companies to move into Dublin to really make a big change to how the market looks, because Dublin at the end of the day isn't the biggest office market in the world, for instance. I think it's more down to how can Dublin maintain its position as European capital city, where people currently look as one of the top 2-3 cities to come to set up a European operation. I think it's all about how Dublin really pushes itself forward in that respect. And again, genuinely think a large part of that is how do we think about accommodation? Because at the moment, if a bank wants to bring 3,000 members of staff over to Dublin, the question is where do they live, and where do they live where they're not commuting within an hour and a half to get into work every day? So I think that again the crux comes there. I think we're building some great office accommodation. There's some great retail space there, but again we really need to put a lot of thought into where these people are going to live, because if you bring over 3,000, 5,000 individuals, you are pushing other people out of their homes because they may earn more than the local individuals who are there today. So we just really need to put a bit of thought into how we create spaces.
But are you seeing some specific Brexit-related demand here? Or do you think the talk will translate into sort of moves here? Has it been overplayed?
There will be pluses and minuses to Brexit. I mean, ultimately, it's going to happen. So we may as well play it as we see fit. But I think if there is extra demand from the office occupier market, that's obviously a positive from the property from a property point of view. But there may not if those companies don't have anywhere to put their staff. You know, they may go to Amsterdam or Brussels instead. And if you don't have that positive in the Brexit story for Dublin, then there's a lot of negatives that could outweigh the situation. So we need to put a bit of thought to grab whatever positives that we do get out of the Brexit situation, rather than just assuming one's fate as it's going to be a bad place to be. Because there's a very good chance we could make a huge positive out of the Brexit.
Excellent. Listen, thank you both very much.